That Advent means anticipation. It means looking forward to that coming. The Advent, the event that God planned so long ago, which was the coming of His Son. And as we have moved forward in that anticipation and that preparation, we have looked at, first of all, the first aspect of Advent, which is hope. Because see, it all starts with hope. It all starts with a looking forward to something that is better than what we have. And then with the coming of Jesus, we recognize that His coming was for one purpose, and that is to bring joy. A joy that goes beyond the happiness, because His coming provides something that does not get consumed in a moment and has to be obtained. But His coming is an everlasting joy. It is a joy that goes beyond our circumstances into a knowledge that we are new, we are accepted, we are redeemed. And that's the joy that we have, that we don't have to earn it. We may go through some down times, but it doesn't matter. The joy is what is purchased for us. And then last week, we realized and remembered that everything that we celebrate in the coming of Jesus was for one reason, and that is because He loved us. It is all because of love. It is the love of God that draws us in. Even when we don't understand why God does what He does and why He allows what He allows, we need to realize that His love is bigger than our understanding. That's hard for us to accept sometimes because I want to understand. But if I can understand how much He loves us, then even if I don't understand, His love is something that I can lean on. And as we love one another, we enter into that Advent. Today, we celebrate the final result of His coming, which is the candle of peace. You see, when it's all said and done, God brings everything together in just the right way. That's what peace really means. It's the word shalom, which means wholeness. You see, when we come to that final receiving of Jesus, when we truly do more than just believe and do more than just sing the songs and do more than just celebrate the rituals, when we truly let Jesus in, everything is put together. There is a peace. And that is what we want to celebrate today. Peace. That is what God wants in our life. Peace in our heart, in our mind, in our life. And we see throughout the New Testament, throughout the words of Christ, Jesus said, "My peace I give to you." Not like the world gives peace, but "My peace I give you." That no matter what you're going through, there's just a confidence that my God's in control. You see, that's what peace is. It says that it's a peace that surpasses all understanding. Doesn't make sense sometimes, but if we truly know Jesus, if we have surrendered, if we have given Him that place in our heart, then that's a place for peace today. As we remember that this week, let's just take a moment and ask the Lord of peace to fill this place. God, we just thank You that You came to bring peace in our life. God, I thank You that though we scramble and we try as hard as we can to fix things in our life, to get things that we think we need, God, and yet You're the peacemaker. In all of our failures, God, You are still building wholeness in our life. And I thank You for that peace that You offer us. And I pray that, God, we would begin to enter into that peace, that we would begin to put down all the worry and all the effort that we try and do on our own, and we would just begin to let You have control. And in so doing, receive your peace, God. God, I pray whoever's here today that, God, maybe they may be far from peace. They may be in turmoil. They may be in anxiety. They may be filled with, God, the doubt and the cares of this world. But I pray today that you would just whisper in their heart that there is peace in your promise, that you would just speak a word of peace in their heart today, God, because you came. And it's all because Jesus came that we have peace. And we just thank you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And as that flame burns throughout the day, please remember his peace. We also want to encourage you and invite you tomorrow night for our Christmas Eve service, as we will be celebrating that evening. Whether he was born on the 25th of December or not, it doesn't matter. We're going to remember that moment. And so I encourage you to come and join us tomorrow evening at 5:30 for our service here in the sanctuary. Amen. We are finishing up our series called Coming Home, and I believe that at this Christmas time, more than anything, God desires for all of us to come home. No matter who we are, and no matter how much we have followed Jesus, there's always another step to get closer to home. We can always get closer to Jesus. And at this Christmas time, I think, as we said, that Christmas is the very symbol of coming home. Because Christmas was about the creation of a home, of a family that became a family because Jesus came. It went from individuals like Mary and Joseph and all of those out doing their own thing to a collaboration of celebration with the angels and the shepherds and the wise men. And there was an invitation to come home. We've looked at what home means, whether it is the home of completion, of we have been away, and there's that relief of coming home. There's that joy of being with family. There's that love of coming together. But today I want to look at a different aspect of coming home, because even though God does want us to come home, there's something even more important that God desires, and that is that God wants to find a home in you. God wants to come home himself to you. He desires to make a home in you. And that is why Jesus came. You see, God, you think, could have done anything to pay the price for us, to somehow forgive our sins, to make us. But you know what? More importantly than just solving a problem, God wanted to be with us. And I think we miss that. Because we think of a God who wants us to come back to him and to repent and to get our life right. But you know, beyond that, God, the God who created us, desires to be with us. He loves us to such an extent that more than anything, in spite of our own rebellion, in spite of our own choices, to put him out and to live our own way, he still desires to be with us. We see that throughout the Bible. We see it in the Old Testament from the very beginning when Adam and Eve chose their own knowledge of right and wrong. See, that's what that eating that fruit was, a desire that, God, we don't want you to tell us what's right and wrong. We'll tell us. We'll decide what's right and wrong. So from the very beginning, when they pushed God off to the side, and yet it says God still came to them. He came walking in the garden, seeking them, calling for them, Because from the very beginning, God simply wants to be with you. He wants to be in your life, not to control you and to hold you down and to manipulate you, but God wants to live life with you. In fact, that's why he created you. In the very beginning, after creating all the earth, he said, "Let us make man in our image," to commune with him, to have fellowship with someone like us, being Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so he desires to be with us. And that's what Christmas is all about. Jesus came to us. Jesus came to be like us. The God of the universe, full of glory, full of power, put that all aside and became nothing. In fact, it says that that's why he chose even to be born in a cave in some backwater in Israel in a manger, to be the lowest of all of us so that all of us could experience his presence. And so today, the real question is not just will you come home to him, but will you let him come home to you? Will you let Jesus in your life? Will you let him enter your home to be not just a guest and not just a piece of furniture in the corner, but will you let him be your home? Our scripture we look at in Matthew, and it will refer to our scripture that we are looking at in Isaiah. But we pick up in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. This is what it says. "Now the birth of Jesus took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they ever came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet." And he's referring to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, which says this, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us." You see, everything about Christmas is that God desired to be with us. He said, "Here's the sign. The sign is that the virgin will give birth." Now, in Isaiah, that prophecy had two meanings. You see, at the time, Syria and Israel were coming against Judah in the south, and they were joining forces to destroy Judah. And so God, through Isaiah, came to the king of Judah, Ahaz, and he said, "Here's the sign that the virgin will give birth, and you will name him Emmanuel. And before he grows up even to know the difference between right and wrong, your enemies will be destroyed." And so this prophecy was that God was going to bring salvation through his work, and the sign of salvation would be through this child that was born of the virgin. Now, like many prophecies, it was foreshadowing of another birth. And even though at this time the virgin was not a physical virgin, but was a young maiden, a young girl who gave birth to the child in the, this was in the household of Isaiah himself, and was a sign that what God had promised would come true and that it would be from God. This foreshadowed the true Messiah, the true one that would not just come to win one battle, but that would come to put aside all of our enemies of our soul. And it was when the virgin gave birth to the Son that he would be a sign that God is the one working in us. To know that God has not forgotten us. To know that God has not just left you, and if you can make it, then you'll get to see him. No, God says, when we see the virgin give birth to the Son, this is a reminder that God desires to be in our life. And we know that Jesus fulfilled all those prophecies, that it was Jesus himself, not just a baby to be assigned, but it was God himself came to live with us, to walk with us, to give us peace. And here's the thing. What is this sign that he gives us have to do with peace? Well, here's the thing. When we make room for God in our heart, there's something about the presence of God that brings peace. Just having the presence of God in our life will make all the difference. When we begin to value Jesus in everything that we do, when we begin to say, God, I'm going to make your home in my heart so that everything I do in life is about bringing you into this world, that I carry the same presence of God into this world just as Mary carried the presence of God into the physical world by giving birth. And when we bring that presence into our life, there's a peace. So what is the peace come from his presence? First of all, the fact that God is with us brings peace because of his power to save. You see, when you have the presence of God, if you know who God is, if you realize who Jesus really is, there's a peace because, you know what? There's no worry. Because I have with me the one who can destroy anything that comes up against me. The scripture that says, no weapon formed against me will prosper. Now, why is that? It's not because I'm something special or I'm Superman or I'm, you know why? God is with me. You know what? If you had someone, a bodyguard with you that was always around you, are you going to fear those things that can come against you? No. Not because of me, but because of the presence that's with me. When we understand the power of God in our life, there's a peace. I can relax. I don't have to worry. It doesn't mean things don't come against me. It doesn't mean I don't go through those things, but there is a peace because God is with me and his power is stronger than anything that I face. I love this story. And this just shows the power of the presence of Jesus. And it's funny because his disciples, they even forgot this. And we forget it too. I mean, don't make fun of the disciples because we do the same thing. You probably remember this story, Mark chapter 4. It says, and leaving the crowd, they, meaning the disciples, took him, Jesus, with them in the boat just as he was, and other boats were with them. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling with water. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not even care that we are perishing? That shows this. They didn't understand who was with them. They were in this boat. But see that what they had forgot? Jesus was in the boat too. We forget that Jesus is in our life if we will receive him, if we have made way, if we are nurturing that. And many times we come to him too. Don't you understand, God, what's going on in my life and these things? Are you going to do nothing? Do you just want me to die? But Jesus, it says, he awoke And he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" You see, we forget this is what Jesus came at Christmas time to give you peace. If you will let Jesus in your life, he will sit with you, that no matter what storms come your way, you need to know who God is. The God that can say, "Peace be still," to whatever you are facing. The power of God is in your life if you will open up and receive Jesus. That brings peace. See, Jesus said, "Why are you afraid? Why are you afraid? I'm with you. No matter what happens, don't you realize if I'm with you, it's only going to happen what I want to happen?" So if we begin to understand his presence in our life, there is a peace. Now, they still went through the storms. We're still going to go through the storms. But as we go through it, all we have to do is remember, well, Jesus is with me, so he must know what he's doing. Let's not lose faith, but instead, let's enter into the peace of God, because he can save me from whatever I find myself in. The presence of God is the peace of his power. I love the story also, Testament, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they threw them into the fiery furnace. And yet, what did it say? They looked in and said, "How many did you throw in?" "All three of them." He said, "But there's a fourth in there, and he looks like the Son of God." And they came out of the fire without even the smell of ash, it said. But why? Because Jesus was with them in the fire. You see, we may face the fire, but we have the power of his presence. Have you nurtured the presence of God? Are you living with him at home in you? Or are you living a life where he's not at home in you? And are we without peace? But if we will let his presence come in, there is power to save. Not only that, but God with us brings peace through his power to restore. Not only does his presence let us rest in the peace of his power, but how many know sometimes even though Jesus is there, we still get knocked down. We still go through things that take it out of us. One of the most head-scratching scriptures in all the Bible is when Mary and Martha sent word to Jesus, and they said, "Jesus, the one you love, Lazarus, is sick unto death." And it says that Jesus loved Lazarus. He was his close friend. And it says Jesus loved Lazarus so much that he stayed an extra 2 days in Jerusalem. That makes no sense. "I love you so much, I'll see you in a few days." He didn't even come. Sometimes we think that God does that to us. If you love us, if you have the power to save me, God, why don't you save me? Well, sometimes he doesn't. But here's the thing that we always see, that he may not save us, but he has the power to restore us. That even if I do get knocked down, God will lift me back up. And see, this is what Jesus, it says that Jesus knew what he was going to do. The reason he did that was so that he could come and restore life and bring Lazarus back to life. Another story was in Luke chapter 7. And it says, as he drew near to the gate of the town, this is Jesus coming into a village that they were passing through. Behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a considerable crowd from the town was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and he said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came up and he touched the bier, and the bearers stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. And again, fear seized them all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has arisen among us, and God has visited his people." You see, God, they even recognized that God was with them. This power to restore is what happens when the presence of God is with us. Now, many times, we have no hope of restoration because we don't order our life around the presence of God. But if we will begin to invite the presence of God in our life, if we will let Christmas happen, true Christmas, where God will birth himself and make his home in us, then you know what? Even when we face death, we don't have to fear because the power of God, he'll restore me. He'll lift me up. Even though I get knocked down, he has a plan and he will make it whole. Romans 8:28, God causes all things to work together for good to those who love him and are called to his purpose. You see, that's a peace in your heart to know that even when things go wrong, God is the restorer. God is working something in my life. And so I don't have to worry. There is a peace that God will make it right, that God will bring it back together. Do we have that peace? Do you have that peace in your heart that you have made a home for God in your heart? Or are you living to make a home for yourself? Are you spending all your effort in everything you do making a home for yourself, and then once in a while you do a little token visit to God's home? We come to church as in this is something that we come and visit God instead of making this our home of our heart, and we make our life a temple built for him. God, I'm going to make my life a place that you can find home in. You see, it's not about him making us feel at home. Are we making him feel at home? And when we do, when we consciously create a home for God in our life, then the peace of his power to save, his power to restore, grows in our heart. But that's only half of it. The other half is probably even more important. See, there's times that even though he has the power to save and he has the power to restore, sometimes in God's unknowable wisdom, he doesn't do either. And this is probably the greatest peace that you can know, is that there is sometimes, if we have made a home in our heart for God, that sometimes it's just the peace of God that calms our heart. He doesn't take away the storm, and he may not even restore us after we've been knocked down. But the greatest peace, he says, but I will still be with you because my presence is your acceptance, your love, that you know that I am with you. Sometimes he calms the storm, but other times he just calms his child. And I think it's those times of peace that go beyond any other. Because sometimes the peace of salvation and the peace of restoration, we can turn into a selfishness. That it's about me, that I want it. And sometimes we can forget where it came from. But it's that peace that comes from the still small voice in our heart, even when we are down on our face and there's no glimpse of restoration, and we're able to say, that's okay, God. I don't need that to know peace because you're with me. You love me enough to come into the pain and to sit there and to experience it yourself. You see, Jesus himself didn't just come to be born and to walk with us. It said he came to walk a path to the cross, where Jesus was not saved and he was not restored in this life, but he suffered and bled and gave everything into death And we can know the same peace that God is with us, that God is close to us to bring us through those things. Do you know that peace that will calm your heart? And this is the peace that goes beyond understanding. It's something that I can't even explain to you until you surrender and truly invite the presence of God and you know the peace that goes deeper than anything else. I was listening to the radio, or not the radio, it was one of my podcasts. I think it was Francis Chan who was telling the story that he had just been over in Korea, and he had met with some Korean ministers. And if you remember several years back, there was the Korean missionaries that were captured by the Taliban in Afghanistan, and they began killing them. And he met with one of the ones that was saved, the rescued. And he came out and he was telling the story that of what had happened and how when the Taliban came to them and told them they were going to start to kill them because the West was not responding. And it says that the elder there came to the other missionaries and said, "I've already told him that when they start to kill us, that he is to take me first because I'm your pastor and I must die first." And one of the other ministers came to him and said, "Pastor, no, I also am a minister of God and I'm your elder, so I'm going to die first." And another one came to him and said, no, you may be elder and pastor, you are pastor, but I'm ordained, so therefore I am the one that must die first. And they begin to dispute over that longing to die first. It doesn't make sense, but it says that finally when it came and they actually did kill the pastor first. But they had taken everything from them, and yet one of the missionaries, only one of them had a Bible that they had not found and had not confiscated, and she took that Bible and tore it into 26 pieces and gave it to all the 26 missionaries so that when they separated them, they would all have a piece of that Bible. And it was in that time, even when they were separated, that there was reports of great peace and rejoicing and worship, and the presence of God was so strong with those missionaries that even as they began to kill them, and they did begin to kill them, that there was not wailing and sorrow, but that there was rejoicing and encouragement in that time. And then rescue came, and some of them were rescued. And this one was reporting to Francis that several years later, one of their ministers passed away, and they all had come back together at this time. And when they came together, they greeted one another and loved each other. And several of them came to him and said, "Don't you wish we were back in Afghanistan?" Francis said, "Why would you wish to be back in that place?" And they said, "Because like no other time in our life, the peace of God was there, his presence was with us. And now that we've been set free and now we're back in this life, we have tried so, but we just don't feel the intensity of his presence like we did then." You see, sometimes it's in those hard times that the presence of God and the peace of God can even become more intense if we have made his home in our life. It says in the story of Stephen in Acts chapter 7, as they grabbed Stephen and they arrested him and they brought him to kill him, it says, "But he," Stephen, "full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, 'Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.' But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears, and they rushed together at him. And they cast him out of the city and they stoned him to death. And the witnesses laid their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. You see, Stephen, even at the time of being killed, experienced the peace of God, because in the presence of God, there's a peace that sometimes God does not deliver us, but God will give a peace in your heart that is greater than anything that this world can ever give, greater than friends, greater than accomplishments, greater than material blessings. And yet so many times we have forfeited the presence of God to gain those things. And yet we see time and time again that God says, if you will forfeit those things, God will give us a presence and a peace that is more valuable than anything. And you will, when you experience that, will realize that it is greater than gold and silver and any pleasure in this world. The great story is that after this, that young man, Saul, that they laid their garments at, it says he himself had come to the Lord now, and he prayed to God this. He says, three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, which is the thorn in his flesh, this suffering that he was going through, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, I am content. That word content there is at peace. I am at peace with my weakness, with insults, with hardships, with persecutions and calamities. For when I am weak, I am strong. You see, God with us brings peace through his power to simply assure us. The power of assurance, the power that God is in your life, is the greatest peace that you can ever know. And yet, we forfeit it for the things of this world. God told Paul, my grace is sufficient. Will you trust me? Will you let Christmas come? Will you make a home in your heart for God? You see, the question is, do we value the presence of God? Do we value that stable where the baby Jesus came in to be with us? Not to take control of us, but simply be with us. Will you let God walk with you? Do you value that? Is it precious to you that God is with you? More than I have all the friends of this world, or what my friends think of me, or what I'm accomplishing. Is it more important to you that God is with me? See, I don't care about those other things because God's with me. I'm not even alone. I don't value my life. I don't define myself by what I don't have, by my weaknesses, because in my weakness, I'm made strong. Because I don't know about you, but God is with me, and that's all that matters. You see, there's a peace that comes in the presence of God. Here's the promise of Isaiah. You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Jesus came at Christmas to let us know that he will be with us no matter what. You can trust that. Do you know the trust of letting him make a home in you? Have you made a home? Have you made a home for Jesus? Not do you believe in him? Have you said a sinner prayer? Do you have a philosophy? I'm a Christian. You know, that's really good, and it's going to be worthless. Because he says even Satan believes in him. Even the demons believe that he is the Son of God. So just because you make this statement that you believe it, I want to ask, have you made a home for him? You see, Satan does not make a home for him. Do you make a home for God in your heart? Because if you do, you will know the peace of God. You will know the peace that goes beyond understanding this morning. I want to pray with you that we would, in a greater way, even if we have in the past, myself included, I want more of his peace. And I can have more peace because I need to make a bigger room for him. Some of us, you've made home for God, but you know what? He's tired of the enclosed garage. He wants to move into the main house. And I want to make a bigger house for him. All of us, this year, let's make a bigger home for him in our life. Maybe he's already lived in our life, but let's make it bigger so I can have more of his presence. And with that, more peace. Join me as we pray. Let's bow our heads.